Good evening, everybody. Name's Tony McCurry from Anderson, South Carolina. I'm glad to see it. We came in here via Las Vegas, Sin City. There's some beautiful sights there with the majestic sights that they have with those big motels and stuff. It's crazy. There's a lot of people in there. Driving down from Vegas, we got to see a lot of beautiful country through Phoenix, you know, Arizona and all like that. It's amazing how different parts of the country raises different rocks or cactus or trees. You know, one area might just be all cactus for 30 miles, and then the next thing you see, you got 15-foot encircled rock piled on top of each other like a giant decided he was going to stack them up. But it's amazing to see, even within that, you can see the glory of God at work, the way he's got his fingerprint on everything. But I'm going to be doing my study. I've been doing a study, as you know, my last one was on fruit of the Spirit, and when working within the fruit of the Spirit, I have a lovely assistant that's going to be passing out some little cards that I made. They're right in front of me. Pick them up and pass them out.
Easy, Tony. You got to drive back.
But if you don't mind, just give everybody one. And at the last conference, I was going to have it on the screen, but I didn't bring my thumb drive to allow Barney to put it up there this time. But I did have those printed out. And it's got all the virtues that I have so far put together as far as the fruit of the Spirit. It's so encompassing that every virtue of God is definitely in Scripture that we can read. And the characteristics of mankind is taught throughout Scripture to the different generations that has been put forward. We're going to start off in Ephesians 4. I'm going to read 7 to 13. It says, but unto every one of us is given... I didn't start in prayer, and I do need to do that. So let's all bow our head in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day and all the blessings that you give us in it, especially those blessings that we don't see, Lord, the workings that you're doing behind the scenes. And Lord, I've seen firsthand the blessings that you give us with the majesty of your country as we drove through it, and the beauty of the sun and the moon as they were both coming across the horizon at the same time. Lord, it was so glorious coming down that evening. And Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are here and those that are traveling still to come. Lord, be with the speakers as you put your message on their lips, Lord, and let it be for the glory and the edification of the body. Lord, that is the will of every speaker here, is to do your will, Lord. And we're thankful for that and that perfect Son that you gave to cleanse the world of sin. Lord, we thank you for that and all that's in it. And Lord, and being understanding the Scripture of right division, we're thankful, Lord, that you chose out a group of believers from before the foundation and set them aside a blessing beyond any blessing known to man. For it's in all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
But turning to Ephesians 4, 7 to 13. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The word edifying is going to be one of my words I'm working on tonight as far as the fruit of the Spirit. Because it's our job as those that's delivering the message, whether it's to a group or to an individual that don't know Scripture, either rightly divided or don't even know Christ. It's our job to edify them and give them the message to bring them to know the truth. And Christ is the truth. But the word edifying is a cardomio. You know, it's with a D, with a delta. And it, within that word form, we know that oikonomia comes from that. We know that oikos comes from that. We know that oikonomio comes from that. Oikodomio. Oikodom. Oikodomia. So within those, one is to manage. One is the economy. Is an economy. One is a person. One is a home. One is a house builder. Oikodomia is a builder of homes. That's edifying. To edify somebody, you're building their house. You're building their foundation and helping them to know the truth, whether it's to know Christ or to know the Scripture rightly divided. Because they have to know Christ before they can come to the knowledge of the truth rightly divided. Because it's the Holy Spirit that leads a Christian to truth of Scripture rightly divided. Because there's a lot of wrong teaching within Christianity. Some say it's religion, but it is what it is. Paul directs Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:4. If you want to turn there. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which men are questions, rather than godly edifying, which in faith so do. But is godly edifying the proper word that should be used in this verse? When you look at the Greek form that's associated with this verse, it's in the CB notes it says it, but it says dispensation. Oikonomia, not oikodomia, which is edifying, but oikonomia. So this is really the wrong English word to go within this verse. Whereas the Sword Searcher, my Bible program that I use, it does use oikodomia, which is wrong. You have to get back to the Septuagint and the older manuscripts to see the word that Christ put forth. This is a perfect example of rightly dividing Scripture, cutting it straight, getting to the chase, and seeing what it's actually saying. But through study, we find oikonomia is, of course, dispensation, administration, or stewardship. And the Roth version, not only in to be teaching otherwise, nor yet be giving heed to stories and endless genealogies, the which bring arguings rather than the stewardship of God. See, the Rotherham version says stewardship of God, which is in faith. In the Weiss translation, Just as I begged you to continue in Ephesians 3 when I was going into Macedonia. Well, I had the verses 3. Sorry. It didn't say that in the translation. But in order that you might charge certain ones not to be teaching things contrary to sound doctrine, not to be giving assent to fables and useless genealogies, which are of such a character as to provide occasion for exhaustive investigations rather than the acknowledgement of the things by which God has provided for and prepared salvation, which salvation must be embraced by faith. Notice in these translations the word edifying never came up. This is also our daily charge to follow in this manner. The Greek oikonomia in the analytical Greek New Testament states that here in verses 1-4 may mean divine training. But divine plan is also possible. So when we look at 1 Timothy 1-4, we see neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than God's divine plan, which is in faith. Does that make sense? I mean, godly edifying is fine, but when you break it down to what the Scripture actually says, it makes more sense in the whole verse. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than God's divine plan, which is in faith, so do. So you're just ministering God's plan through right division, cutting the word straight in 2 Timothy 2:15. Oikonomio, to manage a house, an estate, to be a steward. A steward. One responsible for maintenance. In college, a steward provides food for students. A steward of God provides food for the hungry people that want to know God first. One that watches over. We have a truth here that we have to watch over. I heard Miss Jan say one time, this truth is so important, our lives depend on it. We are to watch over this word with every breath that we have and to keep the lies out. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it states what's required of stewards. This is, of course, an Acts period book. But this requirement falls beyond that. This is a doctrinal statement. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I can't see nothing but faithful teachers out here that come here to deliver messages tonight. I see faithful people that are here to soak it in and eat it. In 1 Timothy 1:3-9, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly divine training which is in faith. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. We're falling into the fruit of the Spirit. Charity. It's love. Every time charity is used in Scripture, it refers to love. In John 13, 34, it states, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. A new commandment. That overrides every other commandment that's there. Because love is now the new commandment. Oh, Christ says so himself. It's the new commandment. And out of a good conscience, and out of faith unfeigned. That unfeigned is anapokritos, undissembled, sincere, without dissimulation, unfeigned, not counterfeit, not hypocritical, real, sincere, and unfeigned piety to God, unfeigned love to man. From which some have swerved, having turned aside to vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor wherefore they affirm. In Titus 1:10-16, we have what Paul says about that. For there are many and unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. They're teaching their law. They're not teaching God's law, they're teaching their law. Whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being an abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. But we know that the law is good. Back to 1 Timothy 3:8. But we know that the law is good. If a man use it lawfully, knowing this in mind, that the law is not made for a righteous man. And we'll get on to that as to why that is. But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers, of fathers and murderers, of mothers and manslayers. I said all that to lead into this. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's the five words. Against such there is no law. Remember? The law is not made for a righteous man. That explains it in Galatians. And Timothy is a later book than Galatians. Too bad he wasn't around then, but you know, he didn't have the truth rightly or given to him that he had in Timothy. But he come to the knowledge through the Spirit to understand it more and to deliver it to those that needed to hear it that way. The central organ of the human body is the heart. the central virtue of the fruit of the Spirit is the heart. What you see in front of you is the words that I have so far, and there's more that I'm going to be adding to it. The fruit of the Spirit is one of those topics that can go on and on. Barney's done a study on walk for I don't know how many weeks. Cecil is up to 150 something. And he's not done on walk. Now we have fruit of the Spirit here that's got, I think, 54 words in it so far. And I'm not finished. But that's going to be keeping me busy for a while. It gives me something to study on myself, because I took it upon myself to do this because I felt like I needed to. Because when we judge somebody, we're pointing fingers. Three's coming back at me. One, it's going back. So before we go pointing fingers, just remember, you're being judged. In Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit have 9 different virtues. And the 9 are easily divided into 3 categories. The first 3 are inward and come from God. Love, joy, peace. The second 3 concerning each Christian's relationship with others is patience, kindness, goodness. And the final 3 are more general traits in a Christian's life. Faith, gentleness, and self-control or meekness. Within all 9 of these, there is no law, because these 9 virtues fulfill the law that's been taught throughout the ages. When looking at the heart of man, now I'm talking about the heart of man that don't know Christ, okay? When looking at the heart of man, you'll find qualities that are not so pleasant. I seen them 2 days ago in Las Vegas. Romans 1, you can see Vegas. You should have, Vegas should be in Romans 1. It should tell Vegas. Because it is inherent of man from the fall of Adam throughout Scripture till today to be greedy in nature. Totally self-willed because of the sin of man following Satan. It's totally natural. Because the fall of man, Satan has been here from the beginning. God, in His infinite wisdom, has given mankind the grace of free will as to what his man's desire to do. So man gets to choose his own future. When left to his own devices, man will more often than not choose the selfish route. But the man that hears God's message and believes in his heart will be a selfless man that reacts in a righteous manner, and that is accepted of God. I've had arguments, and yes, I'm on Facebook. I've had arguments with family members on Facebook, and they say that, well, you're just self-righteous because you're condemning somebody because they want to be gay. I said, I'm not being self-righteous. I'm being righteous by God's Word. That's the only defense I had to have. And that was the end of the story. Well, I was blocked from them, but that's fine. That's fine with that, you know. Didn't need them in my life, no way. When left to his own devices, I've done said that. Getting carried away here. Righteous will be a selfless man that reacts in a righteous manner that is accepted of God. Righteousness is godliness. 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, because he just got through talking about the things that the old man was following. But follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The fruit of the Spirit displays the result of the Holy Spirit's presence. Let that sink in just a second. The fruit of the Spirit displays the result of the Holy Spirit's presence. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, these are the displays of the character of Paul's ministry. In whom the God of this world, little g, hath blinded the minds of men which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This light is the same light that is referred to in Ephesians 5 with the fruit of the light. This is the same light. The fruit of the Spirit is the image of Christ within the believer with all the attributes. When glowing with the light of Christ, we are a testimony of Him. That's pretty simple and the way it is. If you walk within the virtues of the body of Christ that's mentioned in these little squares in front of you, you can't do any wrong. All you have to do is pay attention to what you're saying before it comes out of your mouth. Think about it. It's as simple as that. The fruit of the Spirit is a Christian body members. You know, I say Christian body members because there are two different ones here. The Christian believes in Christ, the Son of God, that died on the cross and was rose again and believed to them for their salvation. The body member goes even farther and understands right division and putting it in its proper place and knowing that there's a different resurrection than an earthly resurrection. The body member knows that Israel's going to have their own resurrection. John 3:16 is going to have their own resurrection. The body member's going to have their own resurrection. That's a lot to figure out. And you don't hear that in traditional churches. That falls into the religion that I told you about. In Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers, imitators of God as dear children. Children, for the most part, are innocent until taught different. We can see that in our grandchildren and our children. You're going to help them. Children are a beautiful thing. The innocence just melts your heart until they grow up and start learning the bad things. Followers, or Greek imitators, Mimetes. We could get our English word mimic out of that. Of God in respect of love, God's essential character in 5:2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. How do we walk in love? I've done went over it a few times. Understand the love of God and His Son and follow with our heart His virtuous principles, which is displayed with the fruit of the Spirit. This sonship that's talked of here, every son wants to be like his daddy. We need to be like our father. We need to be like our head, Christ our Lord. By walking with the fruit of the Spirit in our heart, let that guide us with our walk. You're going to be an imitator of God. You can't help but be that. In 1 John, love is displayed in doctrinal and practical truth. In 1 John 4:16-19. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. In Ephesians 5:8-10, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, proving with the fruit of the Spirit within the body member. Goodness is godly virtues, agathosune. Righteousness is Christ's direction, dikaiosune. And truth is His word, aletheia. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all. My opinion, the fruit of the Spirit is a piece of the pie of the fullness of Him. In Ephesians 1:23. Goodness is virtue or beneficence, the moral qualities which constitute Christian excellence, moral virtue, religion. How are we to correct anyone for anything? When it comes to Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word righteousness is used 48 times. Every time in the Old Testament, but three or four, the word is used referring to God's goodness. Through grace to those spoken to. In the New Testament, it's only used in four books of Paul's, three Act period books, and one church book here in Ephesians 5. Paul only uses this word in his books of the 2 Thessalonians, Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians. Why does Paul have the only books in the New Testament that uses goodness? Well, right off the top of your head, you talk about the Gentiles. Because they don't know what goodness is concerning Scripture. They've never been taught goodness. But the Apostle Paul started the grafting in and brought them in and showed them the goodness. In Romans in Thessalonians. Thessalonians was a model church, spoken of as a church, composed of mainly Gentiles, a territory about the size of Great Britain, around 200,000 strong. They became model examples to believing, showing the power of the Word in their lives. At this time in Paul's ministry, early Acts, Paul felt the Lord was coming soon. In Thessalonians 1:11, talking of goodness, wherefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this call and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. In Romans, it's used three times. In Romans 2, it's used two times. Romans 11, it's used three times. And Romans 15, 2, 11, and 15. Early in Romans 11, middle ways, and Romans 15 at the end of Romans. In Romans 2, well, we know what happens in Romans 1. Remember Vegas? All the nastiness that was mankind could even imagine. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. In Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He's talking to the Judaizers here, because they were telling the Gentiles what they were doing wrong, and Paul was telling them they're doing the same thing. Paul is correcting the Jews against judging the Gentiles of their perverse sins of the flesh, calling them hypocrites, calling the Jews hypocrites for doing the same. In verses 1 through 4 of Romans. Give me a bookmark. I said I was going to do it. 2, 1 to 4. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, talking about the Judaizers, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest does the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is in accordance to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that the judgment that judgest them in which do the same things and does the same, and that shall escape judgment of God? You think you're judging them for doing that, and you're doing it yourself, you're going to escape judgment? What? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Grace. God's grace. Even those things that you did, God can overlook it through Christ. In chapter 11, where the other verses are at, 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Well, those of us that's in this scripture understand that being cut off, we're talking about the grafting in process. Romans 11 is the central part of the grafting in process, where Paul is cutting Israel off. The olive tree is cut off, and the wild olive tree of the Gentiles is brought in. And they receive the blessings of the root, which is Christ. This is the full grafting in, telling the Gentiles they were the grafting in branch supported by Christ being the root. Receiving the fatness, rich blessings, and correcting them that by boasting of their blessings they could be taken out, because the boasting is not supporting the root, which is Christ. Telling the Gentiles not to be high-minded, but fear or respect. And verse 25 tells them not to be ignorant of this mystery. And this mystery is the grafting in process, where God cut off, is taking parts of Israel out and putting the Gentiles into the same blessing that Israel had, to provoke them to jealousy. In chapter 15, verse 14, "And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another." Paul is referring back to the Isaiah 11:10. That's 12, verse 12, Romans. Shall reign, taking to believing Gentiles, talking to believing Gentiles over Paul instructing in divine training in those things which pertain to God. We get into righteousness, and that's dikaiosune, equity or character or act. Especially a Christian justification, righteousness, purity of heart and rectitude of life, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Righteousness is used in Scripture and theology, in which it is chiefly used, is equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affections of heart, and conformity of life to the divine law. It includes all we can call justice, honesty, and personally don't like the term religion, because religion is related to so much division and hatred. Righteousness is Christ. Righteousness is perfect Christian attitude. Righteousness is living life with God's Word on your heart. It's used 12 times in our church books. And I've got them all listed, and I'm going to read them through, and it's almost going to fit together just like they were all meant to be tied in one among the other. And these are all the words that are used, all the times righteous is used in the church books. Ephesians 4:24, "And that ye put on a new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness." 5:9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Ephesians 6:14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness." Philippians 1:11, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Philippians 3:6, "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless." Philippians 3:9, "And be found in him, and not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through Christ, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." 1 Timothy 6:11, "But thou, O man of God, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." 2 Timothy 2:22. "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In James we have another edifying scripture that the body can draw from. We have more doctrine and practical truth that guides through Christ's fruit. James 3:13-18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Endued with knowledge among you. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You can put fruit of the Spirit right in there. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above is earthly. But is earthly. I'm sorry. That does make a difference. Got to put but in there. But is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits, another fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This isn't a church book, but buddy, you could put that in church doctrine, because that is a mouthful of church right there. The word truth, aletheia, used by Christ. John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the truth. Scripture says it. I believe it. John 17:17. One of the most beautiful prayers in Scripture. Christ says to God, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We are called to participate in the work of the church. All of us. If only to pray for it. God has not called everyone to work on the front lines of evangelizing as the apostles did. But because God has called and chosen all of us, upon us falls the responsibility of producing fruit. Amen. Within the scope of our place in the body, whether at work or play or in the home life or being examples to family members, that we all glorify God. In 1 Timothy 2:1-4, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who wills that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Not that He wills as a matter of fact. We know that. But that His desire that all men should be saved. Since He wishes that all should be saved, do we also wish it? And if you wish it, pray for it. I have family members that I pray for that I don't like them at all. They're mean. But I still pray for them. I pray that sometimes I pray that the Lord will put them on their back so they can look up. But that's His job. But I do pray for them. Because they still have a place in my heart, even though they're mean and I don't like them as a person. For prayer is the instrument of effecting such things. Paul does not say he wishes to save all. For then he would have saved all as a matter of fact. But will have men to be saved implies the possibility of a man's accepting it through God's prevenient grace. Or rejecting it through free will. God isn't in the business to make man do anything. It's called free will. Our prayers ought to include all, as God's grace included all. Put on. Enduo, in the sense of sinking into a garment. To invest with clothing. To array, to clothe, to endue, to have put on. Put on in these phrase here, that is to me, fruit of the Spirit. When I use the term put on, think of the fruit of the Spirit. Colossians 3:10-17. And I have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, love, that's in the front of you, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I thank you.